and welcome to Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? The Tom Hanks boozing, alcohol abusing guide to the very special episodes of yesteryear. I'm Jay McCain. With me is Aaron Hubbard. How you doing, Aaron Hubbard?
That was particularly good. I like that one. Thank you. Thank you for that, Jay. It's a gift. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just dandy. This was an interesting episode. I don't think I'd ever seen Family Ties before, so
it was,
I learned a lot.
It was one of the, these are one of my earliest memories. Like, I'm 6-7 years old here. Like, my family's all about Family Ties. We all liked it. I have very clear memories of this show, and one of my clearest core memories is Tom Hanks in this episode. This is season 2, episode 14, called Say Uncle, I believe. And
yes,
one of my core memories is Tom Hanks just chugging vanilla extract. And it would be about a decade before I made the connection between, because I just thought that that was something alcoholics did. Like, they're so drunk that they just start drinking things like ingredients out of. I didn't realize that vanilla extract is actually like 80 proof alcohol on top of everything else. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Hard way to go.
It's probably not a bad shot overall.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, having alcohol on your breath, that's probably, like, the nicest smelling.
Yeah, it beats rubbing alcohol, you know, in terms of, but yeah, I was wondering, curious, yeah, how did you find Family Ties, and what did you make of this very special episode where they deal, the Keatons deal with alcohol, alcoholism, alcohol abuse?
Well, it's a cheesy show. It's very sitcom-y.
Mm-hmm.
I think they handled it as best as they could, but it's a pretty heavy topic for, like, a laugh track sort of a television show. But that's the whole premise of this season of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car, isn't it?
It's interesting how they handled it, though, because, like, last week when we were looking at Boy Meets World, I felt like they really pumped the brakes on the jokes and the laugh track when, you know, things got really serious. But
right.
The audience was digging Tom Hanks deep into alcoholism. Like, I think the only thing they didn't have a rowdy response for is when he just slapped the shit out of, he Chris Rocked Michael J. Fox.
Right.
And that's the only time the audience kind of, like, a hush fell over them. But they were loving all of his deep denial, self-destructive, interview exploding ways. They just constant. They didn't see... They didn't see a slurred Tom Hanks they didn't like.
Right. Part of that might have been because Tom Hanks was acting like a clown the entire time.
Tom Hanks he's very funny, and he's got very good comic timing. Like, I was laughing despite myself at the performance he had in front of, I forget the elder Keatons, the dad, his boss. Like, some of the shit he was, like, you know, turning around and doing the interview and... carrying on, I thought was pretty funny, and it seems like he was a fun uncle too.
Well, he is until he really isn't.
Yeah. No, it's like, you know, he seems, and I don't know. Like, I can't wait to explore the felony embezzlement that is implied to have a altruistic core to it. I'm really curious to see if we can kind of figure that one out.
Right.
But yeah, this is I don't know, should we just kind of get into the episode, or
I say let's shotgun this one.
I will say this, I was initially excited at these 24 minute episodes. I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be like, you know, halftime. It's gonna be like Christmas Vacation hours covering Feeny this year. But comedies are fucking dense. They fit a lot of verbiage, a lot of things going on. If you want to break it all down, I find, like, my notes are as long as your average Knight Rider episode, because you just don't have action. They don't do establishing shots. Everything is just bang, 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 bang. If the camera's on, someone's talking and someone's doing stuff.
That's true.
Also,
there's no car chases.
Also, I realized, because in the credit sequence, which I quite enjoy, I like the this guy painting a picture of this family. Michael J. Fox of Back to the Future fame is wearing an Ohio shirt. I mean, what the fuck? And I looked it up. Family Ties is set to Columbus, Ohio. It's like 90 minutes from here.
I mean, is that a huge shocker? They're kind of like...
I can name on like one hand the number of TV shows that have featured a Midwestern location. And it's usually... Yeah. And if I take out Chicago, I can probably name this WKRP Cincinnati. And that's... is there another one? It's always New York or Seattle or Boston or Philadelphia. There's never Indianapolis. Columbus, Ohio? Are you shitting me?
Yeah. I just feel like if you want an average American family, it should be set in an average American town like Columbus, Ohio. Apparently, to me, feels average. I'm afraid I'm coming across a little bigoted towards Ohio or something. You can be exceptional to Ohio. I apologize.
I wonder, where was the... okay, so there you go. The Roseanne Barr show was set in Lanford, Illinois. That's another another one set in the Midwest. But yeah, I like this show. The things that stood out in my mind from my memories are Meredith Baxter, the mom, is like one of the all-time hottest TV moms, in my opinion.
Don't see it. I really don't see it.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. What about Justine Bateman as one of the all-time hot TV sisters? Are you not seeing that either?
It's just like a teenager.
I was 7. This is an age appropriate relationship, okay?
Yeah, I'm not saying for you. I'm saying for me, for me to chime in on this.
I guess that's true.
Would be inappropriate.
I guess it's different because I'm thinking back. I'm thinking back to but yeah, you weren't even born when this thing was running. Were you? Where do you come in, like 87?
I was 86.
Ah, close. So yeah, you're got another couple years to go before, because this was in 83, I think, is this season. Okay, and Michael J. Fox, also one of the all-time hot TV brothers, probably of all time, I imagine. He was such a heartthrob at the time.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, sex symbol, Tiger Beat.
No, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. You don't see, like, you don't think Michael J. Fox is attractive and charming?
I guess I'm attractiveness blind to this sitcom family. They don't do it for me.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. I just think you hate Midwesterners. They were born in flyover country. It's like fucking an animal.
Yeah. I call Ohio average, and then this.
Oh, it is. I'm not saying, but you know, sometimes average is jack of all states, master of none, is what I say. So we got Tina Yothers as Jen, who's just a little sister, little kid sister. She's practicing her clarinet and driving the family crazy.
Right.
I thought there's some good goofs here.
They're like, why don't you go practice outside? And then, why are there all these cats in the yard? But then the confusing one is like, why are the cats outside and upside down?
Yeah, like, they're like
rolling
around
on their backs. Are they wanting it?
I think they're implying that they died. Like the music was so bad it attracted and then killed them.
I thought it was like they're in estrus or something. Like,
I think this is, you can tell it's one of the better written sitcoms because they do tend to like establish a joke in the beginning of a scene and then that joke kind of builds and then, you know, like the mom does something, Michael J. Fox does something, the dad comes home, says there's cats, the older, I think that's a hallmark of like, you know, they're just building things and paying things off. The showrunner I noticed was Gary David Goldberg, who also did Spin City, another Michael J. Fox vehicle.
Interesting.
So when long-running hit shows we're talking about here, looks like he got a start like writing for the Bob Newhart show back in 76. That's another storage sitcom. But they're very excited because Uncle Ned is coming, and Michael J. Mm-hmm. Fox is worried that his dad hasn't gotten a good word in for him because Uncle Ned is out of work. And Michael J. Fox thinks that's a travesty. Did you, because there's a couple of big things that I don't think were really present in this show. One of the chief humors of the show is that the parents are these graduated from UC Berkeley, California hippies. Mom has become an architect. The father runs, I think he's the accountant for the local PBS station. Mm-hmm. And they've resettled into the Midwest to have a family. And Michael J. Fox is an arch Reagan worshiping high school Republican.
Okay, I did not get that.
Yeah. In fact, there's like a lot of things he says in here. It's like, it just shows how far, like, how much different conservatism is versus, you know, the Reagan era versus now. Just like how much the writers just didn't have a handle on conservatism back in the 80s, because obviously they probably weren't conservative.
No, they're a bunch of UCLA, Berkeley grad hippies living in California.
Exactly. They're nailing the mom and dad. They don't have anything. They don't know what the hell they're talking about, Michael J. Fox. But there's a lot of humor in he's always wanting to be this like young Republican, make money, you know, be this like type A, study all the time versus his parents, which are more laid back. Why don't you, you know, settle down, you know, just relax a little bit, Alex.
Okay. See it now that you mention it, mm-hmm. but I did not pick that up on the watch that I did.
So dad comes home and Michael J. Fox confirms that Uncle Ned's going to get the interview. And
right.
there's this question in Ned's past where they mentioned that he embezzled $4.5 million, which I raised my eyebrows and said, holy shit.
Yeah. Especially back then, that's a lot of money.
But so Michael J. Fox, again, the arch Republican, is saying, well, he just did some creative accounting to hide money from the company in order so that people could keep their jobs. And I'm trying to think. Is this cope? Is this just like they're buying the spin? Because how does embezzling $4.5 million from a company save jobs? Even if you just hit it in like some kind of booking thing, like a company's going to be like, oh my God, we just mysteriously lost $4.5 million. Better retain all of our employees.
I think my takeaway was like they were going to merge the company or something, and then there would be massive layoffs after the company got sold. Yeah. So he had to hide the money. That was my takeaway. But it does seem like hiding money is not a good way to retain everyone's jobs.
Or maybe he knew the company's going over anyway, going under anyway. So he stole the executives' bonuses and then like Robinhood redistributed it to all the out of work employees. I needed either less information or more information, because $4.5 million in 1982? That's like $3 billion. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of dough, especially like Tom Hanks's character is like 26 years old when all of this is going on.
Yeah. And Michael J. Yeah, they mentioned he's not even 30 yet, and he's already been a vice president of some company high enough to embezzle $4.5 million. And again, it's weird that Alex Keating is the one saying like, oh, he followed his conscience and he sacrificed his high paying, lucrative executive job for principles he really believed in. I'm like, what? What? He worshipped Ronald Reagan? What? This doesn't. I wish I could go back. I might actually watch more of this and see if this jibs with my childhood memories. So Uncle Ned comes in and he brought the trash in from the driveway. He brought trash into home just to make a joke about keeping the trash bin from stealing it. I don't know. Is that funny or is that just gross?
In my household, if you miss a week of trash delivery, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
There's just not going to be enough room. Like, yeah. this is not worth the commitment to the bit to make the funny, haha, I brought the trash back in.
Yeah. It's like, now we're going to have to go to McDonald's and sneak it into their dumpster, because you're right. I've actually never been in a house where I could miss a garbage day comfortably. It was always like, Jesus, right. We're going to have the thing's going to be mounded over or.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to stand on top of it and do the mash down thing.
Mm-hmm. Take it out to the burn barrel. wasn't that rural. My grandparents were, but not me. So he finds out that he's got they want to celebrate, says, you got any beers? And he does the first eyebrow raising thing, whereas he takes one out of the six pack, hands it back to Michael J. Fox, and just says he's going to house the other five. Okay, that's a lot of beers to be drinking right from the jump at A Family Affair, yeah?
I would say so, yes.
And then the Jin offers to play the clarinet, and I thought that was also a pretty fine piece of comedic acting. The entire family doing a no, whatever you do, no, pantomime. And when the little girl turns around to look, they, you know, try to all simultaneously at the same time. And the crowd went wild. The studio audience
went bonkers.
Gave him props for that little bit of improv. Yeah.
That's extra effort.
Have you ever played old school classic Trivial Pursuit?
Yes, I have. Because I feel like every closet has this game in it.
Dude.
With, like, pieces missing, but the game is in there.
The grip that this had on families across America. I mean, I can't think of any other real equivalent where everyone went all in on a board game.
Right. Like Monopoly?
Maybe, but I don't even remember people playing Monopoly. Like, us kids would play Monopoly, we got bored, but like adults would sit around playing Trivial Pursuit. So yeah, that's what they're doing here. They're playing Trivial Pursuit, and they have a topical question. What country drinks the most beer per capita? Turns out it's West Germany. Another thing that dates this episode. There was still an East and West Germany.
Yeah.
So they, I think people are observed. Like, I think his the mom, Meredith Baxter, kind of observes that he's been drinking a lot of beers. And he's been going out pretty heavy. And he goes, oh, you know, Jin and Mallory aren't drinking, so I'm doing my part to, you know, balance things. I just you know, just kind of like joking it off.
Yeah, he's like, I'm bringing up the family average.
Mm-hmm.
It's our patriotic duty to beat the West Germans at their own game, so we need to drink more beer, he says to the dad.
Yeah, and his sister also kind of chides him for not getting a job, and then the dad chimes in that he put in a good word at the station, that there's a station programming consultant opening that he thinks he'd be good at. And he says, I'd be great at it, as he hugs the dad and orders more beers.
From the teenage, how old is, his name is Alex?
Yeah, Alex P. Keating.
How old is he supposed to be? Because I feel like Michael J. Fox acts like a 35-year-old.
Yeah, that's the one. I think he's like 15 around this part is my right. Because I don't think he's got a driver's license yet.
Okay.
But he's like,
he does a lot of bossing around of this 15-year-old to get him alcohol.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do, you know, if the drug's talking, you know. We have a fairly dark transition, literally dark, to a pitch black kitchen set. As Michael J. Fox comes downstairs, he turns out he's pulling an all-nighter, which I remember doing an all-nighter in high school. It was because I forgot to do an assignment. It was never because I was, like, cramming for something.
I never did an all-nighter in high school.
Yeah.
I would in college. I would go on to in college, but not in high school. I did not care enough about school at all.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty try-hard behavior. But we'll get into real try-hard high school behavior next week with Saved by the Bell. But
oh, yeah. Are you getting that good of studying in at 3 a.m., or would your time better be used for rest?
Yeah. Like you either know it or you don't, you know. Like if you're trying to do an assignment, that's one thing. But a test, yeah.
Right.
Pulling an on-air study test doesn't make sense. So Tom Hanks, Uncle Ned, is sitting at the table drinking, and he scares the shit out of Alex because Alex does not expect to see him down there. And he's like, oh, we're out of alcohol. We should make a beer run. And Alex, like, it's past 2 o'clock, Uncle Ned, you know? And
how old were you when you learned specifically what time you were no longer allowed to get alcohol anymore? I don't think I knew in high school.
I'm also wondering, like, is there a place to go in Columbus, Ohio in 1982 where you could just go to like 3 o'clock in the morning and get liquor? And there is now for sure. Well, I don't know. Like, Ohio's got some pretty strict liquor laws. You got to get to state. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, I'm just wondering. But we also have beer drive-thrus, so maybe those are the places open late. I don't know. I need to get a drinking problem so I could get all this stuff planned out.
I know in Washington State it is 2 o'clock. Like this situation in the show. After 2 o'clock, you got nothing. Sorry, you got to wait until I think it's 8 a.m. they start sales again, either 8 a.m. or 6 a.m.
Yeah. So he sees that he's shit out of luck, so he goes to the pantry and he has a whole bunch of stuff, marinated artichokes, I guess. He jokes about getting a artichoke eye.
Yeah.
Then he hits pay dirt with the vanilla extract.
Uh-huh.
He downs it and he's like, he said, I forget the exact joke he said. It's not Miller time, Alex. It's vanilla time. And he just shotguns the whole vanilla extract. And Alex is starting to get put off. He's like, get kind of worried about this bizarre behavior. And Uncle Ned picks up on it and starts to shift into the mean drunk phase of the evening, where it's bothering him that the other people are noticing the fact that he's kind of losing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he gets all aggro and invades Michael J. Fox's personal bubble. Like, we've all been there with the drunk person who is getting way too close talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take it back about 5 feet, please. Mm-hmm. You are right in my face.
And yet the audience is still laughing. Like, at the...
Well, it's hilarious.
It was something, still he starts getting in his physical space and, like, getting really pointy with that finger and jabby with that finger. I don't know. I thought it was... Because, you know, Alex, Michael J. Fox is a little guy, too.
True. Yeah.
But this is also, like, barely 30 Tom Hanks. He's very... If you're a youngin, Tom Hanks used to be very thin. And known for his comedic stylings in TV, like Bosom Buddies was his big breakout hit, where him and a buddy, I think, were exploiting some kind of equal opportunity act by dressing up as women to either get a job or a college scholarship. I'm not sure which.
Bosom Buddies?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a lot of Tom Hanks and drag on that show.
That's hilarious. I had no idea.
But he's like, starts saying, he says, "You think I'm drunk? I am drunk. Why shouldn't I be? You're just like your mother. You think you can boss me around? I march to beat of my own drum." And then he starts screaming at 3 o'clock in the morning. Where's the dad? Where's the dad when you've got an adult screaming in the kitchen that the punk that's got to get out of here? And yeah, but he does.
There's some soundproofing in these old craftsman homes, I guess.
True. True. They got the full 10-inch thick, like, German-style concrete block walls. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what 2-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? Next morning, Alex is kind of bleary-eyed, and Uncle Ned's down there in a suit, looking fresh, and he asks him how he's sleeping. He's like, are you joking? You know I didn't sleep well. And Tom Hanks does that thing, like that alcoholic thing, where it's like he doesn't really remember the things he got up to and the depths of his drinking, I think, is the implication here.
It has to be. It's the only thing that makes sense. Yeah. He brushes it off. He's like, I was a teenager once. I remember, just take a cold shower or something. So
yeah,
we do get a boner joke in this family.
He does get a boner. And that's the thing. It's like, I will also can reveal that this was a little bit of a triggering episode for me because I've had some alcoholism in the family and they were this type of I don't know if every type of alcoholism situation goes this way. But yeah, a lot of the like people doing wild things and not remembering it, and you know, also people like trying to be cool when they're drunk and then not really appreciating it when they're called out on the fact that they're very not cool. And then again, not remembering any of the confrontations. I was like, whew, boy, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I feel like a lot of shows, a lot of the very special episodes I've seen around alcohol don't really nail that aspect of it so much. Yeah, but we'll get to where we get to by the end of this episode. His dad walks in before his dad walks in, his mom walks in and he expresses that he has a concern with his uncle, and his mom's like, you know, Uncle Ned's always been a little, but he seems okay to me.
Yeah. Drink a lot at school. He was always a drinker.
The thing that
she goes to bat for him.
Well, I was gonna say, the thing that really brings her up short is when he says, "Mom, he drank a whole bottle of vanilla." Like, I like that. That is like that. Like, gets through to the mom. Like, oh my god, my brother might have a problem. He's drinking vanilla extract.
I mean, it's a fair point. I've been down pretty bad before, but I've never drank vanilla extract.
That's true. You start fiending on Robitussin and NyQuil and vanilla extract. That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad times for sure.
So Alex begs his mom to talk to him, and his mom's kind of not sure. But then the very next scene, you see that Ned discovers that he has an airline bottle of vodka in his suit, and immediately makes a screwdriver out of his orange juice. And the mom,
and he talks to the alcohol like it's a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, you're my old friend. Like,
where have you been? Well, I remember I was on the flight from Chicago to L.A. direct.
So
it's a fun little moment.
Yeah, he's talking to the booze, and his his sister says, "Hey, you know, I'm worried about you, Ned. You seem like you've been hitting it hard since it got here. Should I be worried?" And he's like, "Oh, come on, this is your brother, not some old drunk. I'll stop if it's really important to you." And she says, "Yeah, would you do that?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And he pours out the orange juice and the vodka down the drain. And the crowd goes wild. They really, really like the alcoholic trying to pour out his morning eye opener.
The audience is definitely on his side.
Yeah. And she hugs him. I guess he's a fan favorite, right? He's coming from a successful show, probably on another network, and he's guest starring. So the dad and him go to work. I'm wondering, because they established that Tom Hanks ties one on before this interview.
Right.
And we know that the Keatings household had no booze. Did he like prevail on the dad to stop at a bar and like, you know, I just got some nerves. I need to like, where
he didn't go into work with the dad. He went in later.
Oh, he has his own car. So he probably went to a bar and tied one on, you know, just get to just to settle the nerves. So they're in the middle. We go to, I guess, dad's office location. This must be an established set that they had.
Right.
And the boss is there interviewing Tom Hanks. It looks like it's going well. He's really excited about his impressive resume, his Harvard education background. But he does ask him about the minor notice of the, you know, the minor problem of the $4.5 million. And that's when Uncle Ned decides to just torpedo the interview. I mean, God, what all does he do?
He breaks out a clarinet and starts playing it.
That's the opening salvo, when he's like, yeah. Oh, and instead of answer, I've got an interpretive song, and he brings out the clarinet. It's established that he forgot to wear socks, even though the nieces got him a brand new pair of socks. That stings.
He like sits in the dad's lap and then gets on the boss's side of the table as they're interviewing together.
And I got this feels realistic, because I felt like he kind of stumbled and kind of fell into Michael Gross's lap And then to cover that, he decided to make it a joke, and that didn't go well. So he's just trying to find, or I don't know, maybe he's just like full. I don't know. I don't know what goes in the self sabotage here. When you're like super inebriated and you're trying to operate a human body in a high stakes situation, just must be like playing Helldivers. You're just throwing stratagems down. People are dying. splash damage is happening. Like you're just, and you think you're nailing it until you don't.
Yeah, I think it's exactly like that. I mean, I found the acting here to be a little overly comedic, but I guess I didn't put together the fact that he's not just drunk, he's also trying to bomb this interview because he's afraid of getting rejected.
Yeah, and he knows, like, it's I got this fatal, like, I got this embezzlement. I got this, I mean, it's not, he's a felon, all right? He's a felon.
He did some light $4 million embezzling.
Yeah, that's, which is $3
billion. Barely a misdemeanor.
2024 dollars. And he just thinks that it's just as soon as he starts asking about it, he's done. So at some point he gets underneath the table. There's some funny stuff here, but it's just bizarre to me that the audience is still eating this up and laughing, and they don't have the,
that's
like,
true. Ooh,
lights on, or like, ah, or like, you know, the anything but laughing at this very unfunny situation.
That's a good point. Do you think they did like too good of a job warming up the audience? And then
so it's always been my impression that there's literal lights that tell you to laugh and when to like say awe and when to applaud. And like some of it's spontaneous and you're always hoping for a spontaneous reaction, but they tell people, and like, good Lord, were they, I don't know, man, maybe they handed out airline size bottles of alcohol to the audience.
The audience was just loaded
to raise the stakes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and yeah, to get in the element. Judging by some of the laughs to the laugh tracks, there were some young audience members. Mm-hmm. Like you hear the laugh, and you're like, "That's a little kid laugh,"
right?
So, to the little kids, he's just being silly.
And I guess Tom Hanks is very funny, and they did write him some good material. Like I even laughed when the boss is like, "All like, oh, this interview is over." And Tom Hanks smoothly goes, yep, you did a fine job there, Marv. I'll let you know in a few days what we think. Like, he's just completely turned the tables on this, and he moonwalks out of the office. And we're back home. Dad comes home pissed and tells the mom that your brother showed up drunk, no socks, made a fool of himself, and worse, me and my boss, Mr. Wirtz. Like, who gives a fuck about your boss, man?
That's true.
And he's a sick, self-destructive individual that needs help. Then as they're discussing this, Uncle Ned comes home drunk and delusional.
Right.
To deny that the interview was a fiasco, tries to deny he's drunk, tries to deny the extent that he's drunk.
He's got a bottle of champagne. Like I almost said won the interview.
Yeah.
I guess you don't win interviews, but
yeah. Which is a bold move when the dad was there. You know, it's like if you were sold on this interview, you might be able to get have a nice family interaction by just playing up the champagne and, oh, yeah, it went great. But,
yeah,
it's tough.
You had a witness, dude.
And there's also the audience still just doesn't get it because, like, the mother is like, please, bro, you know, stop, Ned, stop lying to us. And he goes, not now, I'm on a roll. Big laugh from the audience.
Right.
What are we doing here, people? And, you know, she gives us the justification that this guy is never going to give me that job. So why even bother? And, you know, that pisses the dad off. And then he starts getting self-pity. I can always count on the Keatons, you know, waving the family banner high. Who cares? Like, you know, I'm just this washed up guy. And that triggers Alex to spring into action. And he gets his wallet out and says, Uncle Ned, I worship you like a hero. I've got every clipping of the speech you gave at the World Bank, of you being the first executive, the 27, I forget all the stuff.
Right.
And Ned pulls him out of his hand, starts burning him at the at the family fireplace that I guess the Keatons just keep stoked at all times.
Well, it's Ohio in the middle of winter. You got to keep the fire burning.
Is it in the middle of winter? I wondered about that.
No, I have no idea.
I was wondering about
probably
that.
Probably not, because they sent the girl outside to play clarinet.
That's, yeah. Like, I was just seeing this, like, when did episode 14 air? January. Yeah, checks out. But they did make her go out and play the clarinet
in the cold, apparently.
In winter with no jacket on either. So, dear God, I'm looking at the audience numbers. There were 17 million households watching this show.
Yeah.
You don't ever get those numbers anymore. That is an astounding number of people watching a sitcom. This makes Alex mad because he doesn't want his uncle to burn these things, and there's a brief struggle, and then Tom Hanks does one of the all-time worst stage slaps I've ever seen.
You thought it was bad?
I mean, like, I feel like Saturday morning wrestling is my barometer for really bad selling of punching, you know? And yeah, it's like he came about 12 inches from the kid's face. The sound was weird. It looked like he threw a closed hand punch, but it was like a slap. You thought it was good? I'm gonna turn it around.
No, I didn't think it was good. You can tell that he slaps his own hand to like make a clapping sound.
No, classic.
But Michael J. Fox goes flying.
He does. He sells the hell out of it. Gaz, if you're gonna try to tell me that was a good slap, I was gonna ask you how many bottles of vanilla you've had tonight, but I won't impugn your judgment. So this finally breaks through his shell, and he starts crying, and he says, "How could I have hit Alex?" And the dad says, "Look here, Uncle Ned, you gotta get help, or you got to get the hell out of my house." That was also a weird thing. It's like, is he staying with them on like a long term basis? Because define getting help, and I guess they had the definition. You can just call AA. And call someone and say you got a problem, and then there you go.
Well, he wasn't there in the next episode, so he couldn't have been staying on that long of a basis.
I think he just refused to go to the meeting, so Dad kicked him out.
That's kind of what's implied by the fact that Tom Hanks didn't stay in the show.
Yeah, and that's the funny is like he did one last joke where he calls AA and he makes some joke about like what was it? Something about I'm calling about the checking the weather in Columbus or.
It's like, how would you like to subscribe to the Columbus Express?
That's what it is, because that used to happen. People just call you out of the blue and try to sign you up for the newspaper.
Yeah.
And then they'd come, if you buy it, they'd come and they would rivet a shitty plastic box to your mailbox.
Yeah.
Because it's illegal to put stuff in a mailbox, but apparently it's not illegal to bolt shit to the mailbox and then have a separate mailbox, a separate but equal mailbox for the newspapers.
One that doesn't actually have a flap that closes.
It's true. It's just open to the elements.
That's what makes it not officially a mailbox.
Yeah, if you're not up at the crack ass of dawn and it's raining, you're just going to get a soggy ass newspaper. The 80s were a wild time, folks. Wild time. Didn't have the internet at all. But he calls the AA and he says he's got a problem, which is the first step.
Yeah, it is.
Getting better.
Well, sort of.
Dude. That's the thing. It's like, what do you do in 23 minutes to tackle a topic about alcoholism? And I thought it was a pretty, like, it's weird that the audience is laughing, but I thought they did a pretty good job of showing, like, the middle stages of a covert alcoholic. But it's the problem with these shows is they always make it, it's like, if you get someone to admit the problem and attend the meeting, well, that's done. You're done.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. Health achieved. And any kind of mental health type of struggle, and I think addiction is one, is definitely one of those one step forwards, two step backs, three step forward, trip slide down the hill type of situations.
Look, he did the 12 steps. He took 12 steps from the couch to the phone.
Right.
And called.
Right. He said, "Oh God." So there he admitted he had a higher power.
Power.
That's it. I think the dad, who turns out he was a former alcoholic at Berkeley, sponsored him right there in the spot. Done.
Oh, yeah. There
Done.
You go.
It's that easy. It's that easy. It's that easy to get help. And that's why we got these very. But, you know, it's the thing. It's like. These very special episodes were also kind of a new thing. Like, they started doing them in, like, the late 70s. Like, I think, the Archie Bunker one was one of the first ones that did, like, you know, serious, like, oh my God, like, Edith got raped or something.
What?
Yeah, no, yeah. The Archie Bunker's wife gets raped in an episode, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God.
And, they weren't really doing that stuff in I Love Lucy, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and Gilligan's Isle. Can you imagine a very special episode of Gilligan's Isle?
A very special episode. It's one where they have to actually sit down Gilligan and tell him that he's screwing up their plans to get off the island and he needs to stop.
The professor's made a still out of coconut shells and coconut milk, and he, you know, just getting blind drunk off that coconut juice.
He's totally stopped his production of the coconut radio that was going to get them off of the island.
And when Marianne went to talk about it, slapped her. Ginger went to talk about it, slapped her. Thurston Howell's wife went to go talk to her. The millionaire's wife, they slapped her. Just
slapping everyone.
It's an ugly scene. Ugly scene on Gilligan's Island.
Skipper could be a good sponsor. I could see him stepping up.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like I said, it's like it's, you know, this is, they're kind of new at this, and I give this maybe we should grade these. Like, what kind of letter grade would you give this for dealing with a serious subject in sitcom form?
With A being like actually dealing with it well,
yeah,
or
like prepare a family for, like, you know, dealing, like getting a family, giving family solid advice on how to deal, like you learned something, you did the community a service, and F is like, I don't know, made the alcoholism look sexy and glamorous, and like, oh, maybe I should try drinking straight vanilla.
I would give it like a C-, probably.
That's exactly where I was going. Like,
okay,
it's kind of approaching above average, but then the audience's bizarre reaction to Tom Hanks's shame spiral is what really, it's just really tone deaf and out of touch.
I wonder if they taped, there's got to be a compilation online of like audiences getting out of control of the creators. Because there's that one time where, like, what's his name? The guy that played Kramer had to apologize because he said the N-word a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Michael,
and he,
whatever. So.
Michael Richards.
Yes.
And he did it on a late night show with Seinfeld, with Jerry Seinfeld there. And Seinfeld had to keep telling the audience, like, don't laugh. This isn't funny. And then people started laughing harder.
Oh, my God.
Because they thought it was a joke. There has to be a compilation of like the audience not understanding.
Right. Right.
Because, and I wonder if they taped episodes back to back. Like, if you went to a taping of this show, did you watch like four episodes get made all at once?
I bet they did. I bet. Yeah. I bet they do these one like couple episodes a day.
Because it might be hard to get an audience out of that, like, laugh at every possible thing to laugh at mood if they're all worked up.
Yeah. And it's a special, I mean, you got Tom Hanks on the damn thing. Like, this guy, it turns out, is going to be one of America's greatest actors. Going to take a Jimmy Stewart turn and go full serious, where he barely ever seemed to do funny stuff, unless he, like, host an SNL. But that's the thing. I always forget when he kills it on SNL. It's like, yeah, he used to be really funny. He's getting jokes. He's getting laughs being an alcoholic and slapping Michael J. Fox.
It would have been great if the audience had just erupted into laughter after the slap.
Right, right. And just cheering like Pearl, you know.
Woo, get him!
Treat it like Norm showing up and cheers, you know, just extended ovations and applause and laughing. Yeah.
We love you, Uncle Ned.
So yeah, that's a very special episode of Family Ties, giving it a C. Let's catch up, because we I just thought of this conceit. What about last episode? Where we dealt with a very special episode on cults.
I would maybe even give that like a D, because kind of like we were talking about, they made the cult seem kind of cool.
Yeah, the fact that there's like hot teenage girls and you can just live with them. Yeah. That's like, yeah, I'm thinking if I was a 15, 16 year old, I'd like search for hot cults in my area, you know?
What about you? You were talking about some of the deprogramming and
that's the thing. It's like I think they did a really good job, an unusually good job of like outlining like the cults and like kind of how they operate and the love bombing and all that stuff, but the prescription, again, the prescription is be an important person in their life, own a motorcycle, and get critically wounded on said motorcycle so that they have a tearful, near-deathbed confession to God, and then everyone that loves them shows up at the hospital, and you just love them out of it. That's how you beat a cult. So that one's a rough. I kind of want to say C- on that, because it seems like all these shows are going to be able to crush the setting up and making the awareness of the problem, but there's going to be a lot of like staring at our shoes and I don't know when comes time to like, what should you do about the problem?
Yeah, we might have to end up grading on a curve, because I don't anticipate any of these shows doing a good job of handling their very special episodes.
Well, I don't know. Next week we got Saved by the Bell, and we're going to deal with the dangers of caffeine pill addiction. So there you go. If you're taking any what the hell, what did they call? Because it's funny. Because I did, as a late teenager, rely on caffeine pills.
Really?
All nighters and stuff. Yeah, yeah. So I'm very curious to see what we make of that episode. But let's get to feedback. Actually, Feeny at baldmove.com is how you send me and Jay all those thoughts, all those vanilla recipes.
Bake and drive.
All your best your cult deprogramming jokes. Feeny at baldmove.com. Our first message from Craig T says, not really had a chance to check out Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car, so I popped on the latest episode, and about 2 minutes in, I stopped. I then found the first one, and I'm listening to it right now. Pretty sure I binged through the whole thing. Two episodes in, and it's so much fun to listen to. Can't wait for more. Also, somehow I need to watch some old episodes, but I have a stacked watch list as it is. Craig, thanks for the high praise. The thing about these old shows that have like 17 seasons of 30 episodes each is they're just amazing background watches. Just throw on Knight Rider, have it playing in the background while you're chopping onions, or you're calculating your taxes, you're knitting, or you're playing your video game or whatever, and anytime you hear dun da 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 dun da da da, you just glance over, see what's happening.
That is a great tip.
If they're playing like some sax heavy slow jam and you want to see Michael try to make time in like a PG way with a lady, if you hear a fancy British guy talking, check out Devin. He might be doing something cool.
I agree. It's fantastic background watching. And what's great about this season of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car is you absolutely do not have to watch any of these.
Yeah, we'll take the hits for you. I really like the late comers to Feeny. You know, we've been doing this for three seasons. People are like, what the fuck is this Feeny shit? That's a new podcast. Walking Dead's over. Check it out. Holy shit, this is mainlining my childhood. You're welcome.
It's a brand new experience for me, so.
Yeah, and for people that are like, I don't know about this very special stuff, we are going to get to some all-time classic fun and dumb Knight Rider ere this season is over. So just hang in there, like the battle at Helm's Deep, and Kit and Michael will be riding over the ridge at dawn. Once again, that's Feeny at baldmove.com to send in feedback to the show. Jay, would you like to tell these vanilla time animals where they can find you throughout the week and around the internet?
Yeah, I'm Jay McCain. You can find me on Twitch at BlueJStreams. It's blue_J_streams. And that's kind of the headquarters of all the stuff I do. I'm on there pretty much every night. So come by, say hi. We have a really cool community. Mention that you learned about it through Mr. Feeny, and we'll hang out. It's fun.
We'll know what to do with you. I'm there a lot of nights too. I like watching Jay. I like hell diving with Jay.
Yep.
Like watching television, Jay. It's a good time. Well, that's it. We will see you next time on a very special episode of Mr. Feeny, dealing with the perils of caffeine pills. Until then, I'm your host, Aaron.
I'm Jay McCain.
It's vanilla time.
It's vanilla time. Hit the very special ejector seats.
It just dispenses vanilla extract right into your face.
Michael, you shouldn't be drinking vanilla extract
Shut
and driving.
Up, kid. Drive. Drive. It's not technically operating a vehicle while intoxicated when you're driving.